This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Twenty-one minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back in to the whole show. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Brian Howell, our Buffs insider with BuffZone.com. Brian, my man, a few days have gone by now. We're well into this for the Colorado Buffaloes as far as practice goes, a media day over the weekend as well. Kind of just wanted to get you on today, talk to us, give us some of your original thoughts or your initial thoughts, I should say, of what stood out to you in media day specifically. Let's go there first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously just a lot of optimism, which you expect this time of year, but there's a lot of feeling within this program that they're a lot better than people think, and that there's just a lot of good young talent people haven't seen yet. And I know that's cliche, and we hear that a lot of times in August and before they start kicking off, but it seems more, I guess, genuine than I've heard in the past. I think there's a real true belief that they've got a lot of good young talent.
Well, and a lot of that, let's go over to the offensive side too, and a lot of what we can make of what this offense is going to be. I know there's a quarterback battle and all that, and you're wanting to see what pieces might stick out. It might all start, obviously, offensive coordinator Mike Sanford. We'll see what kind of guy he is going forward. I was reading a lot of your stuff and watching some of your videos over the weekend too, Brian, and I mean, the guy's, he's fun to listen to. He's damn good at that podium stuff, for sure.
Yeah, no question. It's easy to see why he was a head coach at one point and why he kind of worked his way up the ladder as a young coach. He's still a pretty young coach. He's younger than I am, but he's about 40 now. But he's had some bumps in the road in his career recently. As far as Minnesota let him go at the end of last season, and he didn't do as well as a head coach a few years ago. And Utah State, kind of the numbers went down after he became coordinator there. So there's some trends that I'm sure he would like to reverse, but the coach, the players love him. And, I think he looked at this as kind of a refreshing opportunity for him to get this offense going. And, you listen to him, and it's hard not to root for him and to think, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Now, does that translate to the field? I think it could for the Buffs, but we'll see how they react when the game starts playing.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is sometimes I'll go look at a guy, Brian, and, you look at their records and everything and over the years and their numbers, but you also look at key players, too, quarterbacks that were coming out of his from his influence, wide receivers from his influence, certainly a long list of, some semi-successful, some really successful players in the National Football League, too, and that might bode very well when you have a quarterback competition going on. Maybe that influence can really take hold on one of these quarterbacks in Brendan Lewis or JT Schrout.
Yeah, you're right. And you hope that that would kind of rub off on those guys. And, coaches learn too, right? He's been coaching for a long time, but, coaches learn and evolve as well. And so, there's probably ways that he's learned and how he coached Jordan Love at Utah State, how he coached Deshaun Kizer at Notre Dame back in the day. So he's coached some names that have been in the NFL that have been first-round picks, and maybe he learned some things from those guys on, okay, maybe I need to coach differently with Brendan Lewis or with J.T. Schrout. So I think that can make a difference. You talk to the guys, and they really like this offense, and Brendan Lewis is kind of glowing about him, and you kind of expect that when he's got a microphone in front of his face. He's not going to rip the OC that he's going to hire, right? that's no way to win a quarterback job. But but he kind of talks about how much he really likes playing in this offense, and that he kind of likes the plan that Stanford's developing at this point. So we'll see. I think there's some positive things coming out of the locker room here and out of the program. So we'll see how that translates. It certainly can't be much worse offensively than what they were last year.
Oh, no doubt, man. And Brian, I know it's limited as far as what you guys get to see for practice and everything, but from what you're hearing and talking to players and especially listening to Mike Sanford, I mean, can you give us any idea of what you expect this offense to be like? I mean, are we running more? Or are we getting kind of throwing some unique wrinkles out there? What kind of coordinator is Mike Sanford?
It's funny because I chatted with him one-on-one at Media Day the other day, and he said to me point blank, he goes, I'm not going to tell you what the scheme is, but I'll tell you that, you know, there's a lot of things they're learning. And so there's basically what I can tell you and what I gather from talking to him and other people is there's elements from a lot of different types of offenses that are going to be in this offense. And they're learning a lot of different things. And he sort of joked about it, but, you know, we were talking about Darian Hagan, the running backs coach, and he even said, he goes, we kind of joke about the option, but in truth, he's got a lot of knowledge on option football that, you know, he goes, we're not going to be an option team, but maybe there's an option wrinkle in there now and then that, you know, Darian Hagan helps coach with that, right? So there could be some interesting things with this offense, but, you know, he knows that they're not going to line up and just beat people just straight up with a regular scheme. They've got to get creative and do some different things. So I anticipate seeing an offense that's got just a lot of different types of wrinkles to it and maybe even that option play every now and then.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, you know, if there are, some of those unique wrinkles that might throw some defenses off. Are you, as far as reading between the lines and what you're hearing on the quarterback battle, I mean, even maybe talking to Sanford specifically, I mean, is it still Brendan Lewis at this point? I mean, I know JT Schrout, not getting a chance to see him with the injury last year. I mean, there are still a lot of Buffs fans that would are very intrigued at that prospect too, but also intrigued at maybe the growth Brendan Lewis might possess coming into the season.
Yeah, and you know how fans are. You know, they see what they see, and if it's not good, they want the next guy. And I think that's kind of now where a lot of fans are at this point. Not all of them, but there's a good number of fans that saw Brendan Lewis last year and said, I'm done with him, let's go to the next guy. You know, I think there's some fans that say, hey, he was a young guy, let's see how he progresses. I think right now it's still very much wide open. Coach Carl Durrell keeps saying that, you know, Brendan Lewis is in the driver's seat, you know, but JT Schrock very much in the competition. So I think it's truly who plays better, who manages the offense, who handles, you know, defensive wrinkles thrown at them better. It's going to be a battle. I think it was down, maybe not all the way to the first game, but I think it's going to, you know, go for another week or two at least.
Wow. What do you think about that, too? I've kind of always been one of those guys. I like to know whether it's college or NFL, and I get it. You really want to analyze before making that decision because you don't want to make a decision, and then 2 weeks of practice goes by and the guy's awful. But I don't know. Maybe college is a little bit different for me, but I do always kind of like knowing who that guy is. And as you said, Carl Durrell kind of alluding to that, but I kind of just want to know. It's his job to lose until further notice, and maybe he could lose that, you know, in week three of practice. But I like gearing up several weeks before, just kind of knowing who that guy is.
Yeah, I think all of us do, right? We're kind of in that we want answers now. And he's probably that way a little bit, too. You got to remember, Carl Durrell comes from an NFL background. That's where he's been most of his career. You know, I think he's going to have a guy picked at least a week before. I don't think he's going to go into the final week still having a quarterback competition. That's just my gut. Like, I think even if he doesn't tell us, I think that they're going to have a guy that's named and determined, you know, probably at least 7 to 10 days before that first game so they can game plan with that guy.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. He's one of our CU Buffs insiders. And that first game, we're less than a month out now, Brian, going up against TCU on a Friday night, September 2nd. Maybe this is too early to ask this question because we don't know the quarterback situation yet, but when you're diving into the schedule, you're thinking of all the new, perhaps, wrinkles, talking to Mike Sanford, looking at the quarterback battle, maybe some of these new pieces, both defensively and offensively, have you started toying with a win-loss total type of deal when you're staring at the schedule, or are you waiting to do that until we know a little bit more about the quarterback situation?
No, you certainly toy with it, and it's hard to judge, you know, and, you know, some of my colleagues up there, we admit it, you know, we don't get to watch practice, but you get served Kool-Aid a lot, right?
Yeah.
So we hear the good things, and so it's hard not to, you know, be around it so much and to kind of soak up some of the good things you hear and think, okay, maybe they're better than I think. I like to be a little more optimistic anyway, and so maybe I'm more susceptible to some of that Kool-Aid. You know, so I'll admit that right off the bat. But I still think this is a team that struggles to get to 6 wins. I don't see this as a bowl team. But I think that they can match last year's 4-win total, which doesn't get anybody excited. But I think that they're a team that can get to 4 and with some breaks, maybe they're a bowl team, and maybe some of these young guys that we're hearing about are actually better than we think, and that what they're telling us is true, that there's some really good talent that nobody's seen yet. They've got to have a lot of young guys step up for them to be in a bowl game this year. And so it's hard for me to project that at this point. I'd probably go 4-8, 3-9.
I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable, you know, based on what we've seen from last season and just kind of the stories leading into it. Specifically, what about that September 10th game at Air Force? I mean, man, Brian, we don't talk a lot of Air Force here, but everything I'm hearing is that Air Force could be, I mean, they're always a solid team. They're always a unique team. You always know what you're going to get when you play them. That still doesn't matter because it's so hard to practice for because it's unlike anything else. I'm just hearing that this year especially, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, you know, the number one thing is they're tough to practice for, like you said. And that right there makes them a difficult out no matter who they play. We've seen them over the years, the Power 5 teams go up against them and struggle because they're unique. So there's that element. And then there's the element of there's some things I'm hearing that this could be, the head coach's name.
Oh, Calhoun, yeah.
Yeah, I blanked out his name for a second. But this could be Calhoun's best team. And that's got to be scary for Buff fans. And then you throw in the fact that CU has not been to the Air Force Academy since 1974, about 3 weeks before I was born, by the way.
Wow.
So never in my lifetime. And there's a lot of people, you know, alums, things like that, that want nothing more than to beat the Colorado Buffaloes in their own backyard. And I think CU might be walking into a bit of a hornet's nest if they don't even really know what's going to be there. Because I think this game probably means more to Air Force people than it does to Colorado people. So you add that element to it, I think that's a really tough matchup for the Buffaloes on the September 10th game.
It's always such an interesting spot, too, for the Buffs, because no matter what kind of year they're having, whether they're top of the conference or they're struggling like they've been the last couple of seasons, there's still a giant target in the state, whether that's Air Force or CSU or even North with Wyoming. That is always like, man, if we can beat CU, because CU is kind of the premier college program. I mean, when you talk football, even when there's not a lot of success, at the end of the day, CU is still in a power conference for now, I guess, Brian. We'll see what happens. But they always have a target on them. So it is difficult either way you slice it.
Yeah, you know, and that's why a lot of CU fans don't love playing CSU or Air Force, is that, you know, you're supposed to win that game, and so you don't get a ton of credit for winning it. And if you lose it, then it looks really bad for your football team. And so I think that's why a lot of fans don't love it. Me personally, growing up around here, I love the matchup. I love that we get to see it. I know the Buffs lost in 2019, but I thought it was awesome to see Air Force and CU go against each other 3 years ago. So I'm excited for this one this year.
Yeah, I like the local stuff. I mean, I knew UNC was going to lose last year to CU, but I still liked it. You know, I was still excited about it because I think it's good for all the programs. I mean, maybe not as good for CU, but I do think it's really great for the rest of these programs.
Yeah, totally. And I honestly miss the Rocky Mountain Showdown. You know,
me too.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of CU fans that would hate me for saying that, and they don't feel the same way. But again, coming from here, growing up in Colorado, I love the local games. I think the Rocky Mountain Showdown is awesome when it was played every year. I think it's cool that they're playing Air Force this year, the UNC game last year. You know, and when they played several years ago in 2017 or whatever it was, that was the first time in about 80 years since they played UNC. So I thought it was cool that those two schools finally met. So I would like to see more, not every year, but more CU-UNC games in the future, CU-Air Force. And I'd love to see the Rocky Mountain Showdown. I wish it was every year. I don't think it's going to be for the foreseeable future, but I would love to see it every year.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that, too, because I know they're and I get it, too, because, you know, if you're Buffs, you feel like you have way more to lose by losing to CSU than there is to gain. If you're CSU, you got a lot more to gain because of the Power 5 thing. But I love it. I'm with you. I like the local stuff. I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, UNC's playing Wyoming this year. Like, I like that within the vicinity, seeing those games. I think it's great. But I guess we'll see. Like I said, I think Air Force is going to be a good team. But we're holding out hope. Maybe the Buffs can surprise some folks here and do something, but got to get that quarterback position figured out. Brian, my man, what are you working on that we can check out in the next day or two at Buff Zone?
Just the grind of camp, and there's a lot of player features. You know, media day, I was able to sit down with several guys. RJ Sneed, the transfer from Baylor, Tommy Brown, the transfer from Alabama, Alex Fontenot, who's been here forever and playing running back. So features on those guys and others coming up this week.
All right, my man. I love what you do. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Brian Howell of BuffZone.com, one of our Buffs insiders. I don't know about those CU Buffs. I like Carl Durrell. I do. Talking to him, you know, he's well put together, good guy. I'm just not feeling it. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if they're going to turn this thing around, but Mike Sanford, kind of a new guy coming in for CU. He's been around the block a little bit, but he's young at the same time. So I honestly, Jades, I don't know what to expect from CU. Probably not going to get my hopes up for the Buffs. CSU, I'm thinking 6 wins maybe. UNC, I think more than last year for sure. You know, 4 or 5 wins I feel all right with. But CU, I'm not feeling as good about. All right, 37 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.